time for anything more. You know? If it just becomes that, you're not going to see a change in your personality.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parsetoday.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were saying, which was some of the dangers which one encounters on this path of ubudiyah, on this path of the servitude to Allah, the worship of Allah, the obedience to Allah, I mean the worship to Allah. Some of the dangers which come about, we had said that one of the dangers that can come about is this action of riya, which we should definitely talk about in another program. The other thing that we said, which is one of the dangers that comes about upon this path of ubudiyah and this path of the servitude and the worship and the obedience to Allah, is that instead of one's focus being upon Allah, one's focus turns towards the self. And we had said that sometimes these acts of worship and these Gnostic practices and this asceticism and this spiritual journey, instead of leading towards Almighty Allah and this sort of oneness with Almighty Allah in the metaphysical sense, of course, one ends up just strengthening their own self-centeredness, strengthening their own selfishness, and strengthening their own oneness. And what ends up happening is that an individual begins to lose control, of course. They start to say improper things. They start to use abnormal expressions. And it has been seen in history where individuals call themselves God, or people become deviated to an extent where they are no longer practicing the rites and the rituals and the laws of Islam, of course known as the Sharia. And so this is one of the dangers, and it is quite dangerous because the more one becomes focused upon the self, the less one will focus upon Allah. And the whole purpose of ubudiyah and the whole purpose of this worship to Allah and this servitude to Allah and this obedience to Allah, of course, the common denominator is Allah. And so that is what our focus should be. It is interesting, but we have seen that among these saliks, these spiritual wayfarers, these ascetics, these urafa, these devotees, we find throughout history that there were persons who practiced asceticism and self-purification, yet their exercises only end up aggravating the impurity that was within their heart and the darkness that was within themselves. Now, of course, you know, when an individual begins to do these kind of self-purification exercises, one begins to strengthen their soul and focus on this spiritual wayfaring, you know, they end up realizing how strong they are, how powerful they are. And truly an individual who is spiritually powerful, that individual is much stronger than somebody who is merely physically powerful. And in many cases, when individuals start to go higher up in the levels of ubudiyah, it is highly encouraged to have a teacher or to have a master, have a ustad. An ustad is a teacher who helps one to be able to go through this maze of spiritual wayfaring, especially at the higher levels, levels that are not easily accessible to, for example, individuals like myself. But again, from the beginning to the end of the spiritual wayfaring and this divine spiritual journey, And this migration towards Allah, of course, is for one to be careful of the intrusions of shaitan and to always, always focus as much as they can upon the Most Merciful, the Almighty, Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parstoday.com.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
There's a very beautiful hadith from the 8th Imam, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, where he describes how every hope or every desire has to have action coupled with that. He who asks for paradise from Allah but is not patient over trials and difficulties has ridiculed himself. He who comes to God for shelter from the fire of hell but does not leave his worldly desires has ridiculed himself. It's a very beautiful hadith. We can spend lots of time on this. He who thinks about death but does not make himself ready for death has ridiculed himself. So we cry, we mourn for death, yet I live my life the way I'm going to live forever. Literally, I don't know if God is laughing at us. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's the right thing to say. But I ridiculed myself. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. Yeah, or the Imam to describe it in a better manner. He who remembers God but does not hasten in meeting Him, does not prepare himself to meet God, has ridiculed himself. So this is the Imam is describing what tawakkul is that in every one of these things, my trust and hope was in God. God can seek my protection from Him, I seek forgiveness from Him, I want to meet Him. Everything has to do with God. But I need to take steps towards that action. I need to make sure that I am going towards what God wants from me. And if I don't do that second part, then I have not done tawakkul. I have done something else. I have ridiculed myself. And this is what the Imam alayhi salam is describing tawakkul. And this is a very important concept to understand.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. أحتمي بحما حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير
يوسف جلالي تهران
روبا شابت غازا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا سغلام اسطنبول
سيد امين عالمي كابول
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The EU's tourism industry is currently thriving, but make no mistake, businesses facing huge overheads are struggling to turn a profit. In its summer economic forecast, the European Commission has revised growth downwards and inflation upwards. The bloc is concerned Russia is going to turn off all its gas supplies.
This risk has become more than just a hypothetical scenario for which we need to prepare. So a storm is possible.
For millions, the storm is already here. Governments are accused of not providing support to deal with the cost of living crisis arising from sanctions against Russia, but can find money for other causes. The EU is providing 9 billion euro to Ukraine to run the country and has sent a separate 2 billion for military equipment. This is in addition to the huge amounts of money being spent on Ukraine by individual member states, most of whom are in NATO, where military spending is also increasing. Not to mention the EU is developing its own army. Citizens say fueling the Ukraine war is costing the EU too much.
It's time to be talking about peace, not about weapons or providing more financial aid to the war.
If the parties could come together and agree a peace, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I'm not sure that's happening, right?
Yes, of course we need to end the war, but the problem is nobody knows how to end the war, you know.
The head of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, has been facing pressure during a visit to the European Parliament.
NATO, along with the US and the EU, were never a defensive mechanism, not before the war and not after it. They are offensive. Ukraine has been sacrificed for their interests.
Experts warn the growing social crisis in the EU will have dire consequences for the political establishment. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have condemned U.S. President Joe Biden's visit to occupied Palestine. Scores of people in the blockaded enclave protested against Biden's visit while shouting slogans in support of resistance actions against the occupying regime. U.S. President Joe Biden arrived in Tel Aviv on Wednesday to kick off his first trip to the region since taking office. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas accused Joe Biden of putting the interests of the Israeli regime ahead of the legitimate rights of Palestinians and regional security.
The President of the United States of America carries nothing but unlimited support for the Zionist entity, its security and prosperity, and a package of false promises to the Palestinians. The United States' adoption of Zionist plans is based on uprooting our people from their land by force and obliterating their identity and history in favor of the Zionist entity.
During his trip to the occupied territories, Joe Biden visited U.S.-funded missile interception systems, including the so-called Iron Dome and Iron Beam. The Islamic Jihad movement says the U.S. administration only aims to prolong the Israeli occupation and support its aggression against the Palestinian people.
Joe Biden's visit comes to serve the interests of the Zionist entity, and he's not welcomed in our land. We believe that the U.S. and the Zionist regime share the same interests. Joe Biden has ignored the suffering of the Palestinian people and continues to support the Zionist regime.
Palestinians have warned against the dangers of Biden's agenda and the attempts to integrate the Israeli regime into the region and expand the circle of normalization with it. Analysts say that all U.S. administrations have adopted the same biased policy towards the Israeli regime.
When it comes to Israel and Israeli security, there is no difference at all between Republicans and Democrats. What we are witnessing today is that Democratic President Joe Biden support for the deal of the century and his support for further normalization between Israel and the Arab countries.
Palestinians are calling on the free people of the world to reject the arrogance and policies of the United States that target the region's security and stability.
Observers say that Joe Biden's visit will only give the Israeli regime the green light to further violate the rights of the Palestinian people. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
On Wednesday, Italy's Prime Minister Mario Draghi announced his resignation at the end of a bruising day in which his executive survived a confidence vote on a cost-of-living bill in the Senate, with one of the biggest parties in the government alliance, the Five Star Movement, abstaining from voting. In a statement, Draghi said that the pact of trust at the base of the government's action and the conditions to carry out the executive's program no longer exist. However, President of the Republic Sergio Mattarella rejected Draghi's resignation in an attempt to break the political impasse, inviting the former European Central Bank president to address Parliament and to assess the situation.
I have already said that there won't be a second Draghi government.
Let me say, this executive has dealt with the ongoing tensions pretty well.
The five-star movement pooled its support for the government over a bill aimed at helping businesses and households with skyrocketing energy prices and a provision for a trash incinerator in Rome, a project the once anti-establishment party staunchly opposes. The Mario Draghi government was formed after ex-Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte's second executive collapsed in February 2021. Draghi was appointed to address the consequences of the pandemic and to manage about 200 billion euros in grants and low-interest loans from the European Union for a radical restructuring of Italy's economy.
As usual, Draghi destroys the small and medium enterprises and destructure the economy rather than restructure it. The perspective is to transform the Italian economy in a weakened economy that will be a sort of ground for big multinational companies.
Italian President Mattarella takes on a central role now. It's up to him to decide whether to try to persuade outgoing Prime Minister Draghi to form another executive, find a new caretaker leader to take the country to an election next year, or call an early elections in September. October would be an unprecedented event in Italy's political history, as in the autumn, the government generally needs to prepare and pass its budget. Max Civili, Rome.
Festival seeks to honor media productions that best introduce Shia Muslims' 8th Imam Reza. Organized by the custodianship of the Holy Shrine of Imam Reza, known as Astan Ghoz Razavi, the media festival acknowledges documentary films, news reports, music clips and motion graphics, among others, themed with the personality of Imam Reza. Imam Reza was born in 766 AD in the Saudi city of Medina. He's one of the descendants of Islam's prophet Muhammad. Imam Reza holds a special position among Iranians since he spent his last years of life in Iran's city of Mashhad, which was known back then as Tus. This love to the Imam draws millions of his lovers to his magnificently decorated shrine every year.
Imam Reza was a scientist, a religious leader, and a politician during the Abbasid dynasty in the 8th century BC, when the ruler of the time invited him to come to Iran to be the crown prince of the Muslim territory. During his tenure, Imam Reza left a lasting influence on Iranians through his appealing lifestyle. So it's up to us media activists to introduce his amazing character to the world.
Any media work that shines a brighter light on who Imam Reza was is precious in its kind. My work tried to explain the extent of love Iranians have for the 8th Imam, and I'm grateful that it was chosen as one of the best news reports on Imam Reza.
This is the second edition of the Imam Reza Media Festival. Astan Ghoz Razavi says so far there's been a rise in the number of works submitted from foreign countries. It hopes that with stronger participation from international media activists, the personality of Imam Reza will be introduced to a wider audience across the world.
Organizers say this festival creates a competitive atmosphere among media activists, and this will help boost the quality of productions themed with Imam Reza. The ultimate goal, they say, is to better introduce the character of the Shia Imam and his instructions to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Mashhad.
Europe is currently experiencing a heat wave. It means that overall energy consumption is lower than usual. However, winter is fast approaching. The EU has cut energy imports from Russia in retaliation for the war in Ukraine. The bloc has agreed deals with the US, Norway and Qatar to import liquefied natural gas.
Is this enough? No, I don't think it is enough. And this is the reason why on July the 20th we will come with further proposals.
If these proposals fall short, the EU faces a major energy crisis this winter. Economists are already painting a very gloomy picture.
We believe that we are going to face a recession during the winter, given all the headwinds we are facing right now, the energy situation, but also the cost of living situation that is having a strong impact on consumption.
Eurozone finance ministers claim all the blame rests with Moscow.
We started our meeting with a discussion on the economic situation, which continues to be challenging due to the impact of Russia's military aggression and all the global developments that arise from that.
Analysts say EU leaders are hurting their own citizens by placing enormous sanctions on Moscow. At the same time, Russia's economy seems to be performing well. Aside from soaring energy and food prices in the EU, there is worrying volatility in financial markets. The European Central Bank is raising interest rates. The euro is currently very weak, which has the effect of pushing up inflation even more. Croatia is due to become the 20th member of the Eurozone in January. The EU describes this as an historic step. The question is, will Croatians have much to celebrate by the time they start using the struggling euro? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
French President Emmanuel Macron has become the highest profile name tarnished by the so-called Uber files, a massive leak of company documents. The whistleblowing appears to detail the ride-hailing company's lawbreaking and collusion with political elites across the West. While economy minister under his predecessor, François Hollande, Macron apparently held secret meetings which resulted in secret deals that undermined laws created to regulate Uber, satisfy taxi drivers, protect passengers, and honor the national labor code. French leftist parliamentarians have openly accused Macron of favoring the interests of an American company over those of his own government. Macron faced similar accusations in 2015 when he guided the sale of French energy giant Alstom to America's General Electric. A defiant Macron shockingly said he would, quote, do it again tomorrow, even though Uber's promises of good jobs and economic prosperity have resoundingly failed in France and elsewhere and caused many indebted taxi drivers to commit suicide.
Taxi drivers are not surprised. We saw that Uber is not good at creating jobs, but for creating a new type of slavery. We love our jobs and our cities, and passengers understood that, and Uber has lost here. Uber dangerously does not respect the laws over and over again, while Macron needs this type of behind-the-scenes lobbies to inflict his type of politics.
Macron has often been accused of attempting the Uberization of all of French society. The accuracy of that criticism appears more just than ever.
Uber has reaped the consequence of their nonsense in France because the government refused to control them with our laws. Uber is more expensive than taxis now and not popular. The Uber market can compete with the taxi market, but there has to be regulation.
The scandal is a reminder that while Western liberal economics claims to be based on fair, free market competition, political corruption is routinely employed to create monopolies, inequalities, and to subvert democratic laws. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Outside Belgium's largest asylum application center, located at Le Petit Château, close to Brussels city center. Dozens try to sleep, while dozens more queue up as they wait for the center to open.
I claimed asylum 1 year ago and I still have nowhere to sleep. You can see all the people on the streets. There's no place to eat or to have a shower.
Look at them, you can see the situation. This situation has been from a long time ago. When you claim asylum, so you shouldn't be in the street like this.
We escaped war in Afghanistan. We came here for help, but have to sleep on the streets and in the park. There is no help for us.
These homeless people are mainly from African countries and Afghanistan. None are from Ukraine.
On the face of it, this might look like a Belgium problem, but perhaps we should be pointing the finger at the EU. The 27-country bloc has bent over backwards to provide housing and education for Ukrainian refugees and deliver a whole host of other benefits. Of course, nobody could argue with that. But is this not discrimination?
That's a question we put to the European Commission.
Is there a two-tier unfair asylum system in the EU?
We work closely with the member states that they have under their competence And with our support, they need to follow up and ensure contingency planning and adequate support for all those fleeing war and persecution so that there is no difference in their treatment.
Critics say Western nations tore countries in Africa and the Middle East apart and now turn their backs on displaced citizens. This as there is no end of money to support Ukrainians. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan in August 2021 is considered as one of President Biden's biggest failures. The NBC News revealed that the White House and U.S. agencies have started discussions on how to handle the anniversary of withdrawal to prevent further political damage to the president. Afghan experts believe that by reversing the truth, the Biden administration will try to sweep their failures under the carpet and turn a blind eye on the miseries of Afghans whose lives were spoiled by messy withdrawal.
The U.S. and Western propaganda have always had the skill of broadcasting historical events in a way they want. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan has not been an exception to this rule. It's clear that the U.S. will whitewash its withdrawal mission in its anniversary to keep their global prestige. While we and the world witnessed the U.S. mess in the withdrawal from Afghanistan, as a result of their failure, a political system collapsed, NATO-Afghanistan agreement was broken, and dozens of Afghans were devastated. Most importantly, the U.S. lost its reputation as NATO gendarme.
Shahir, who is in hiding, was left behind by the U.S. He and his family members were asked to come to the airport, but weren't airlifted. He is angry with the U.S., and is still shocked from the sorrowful, frustrating, and insulting evacuation process. He says he feels betrayed by the U.S.
When I made it to the gate of the airport along with my family members, the NATO forces were firing bullets and tear gas everywhere. Inside Kabul airport, we witnessed four Afghans shot dead and three others injured by the U.S. forces. People were panicked, running everywhere. While I was showing my documents, NATO forces hit me with sticks and it started bleeding. Then I gave up as I felt insulted and betrayed by the U.S.
The U.S. 20-year devastating war on Afghanistan ended with a disastrous withdrawal. Several Afghans fell from American aircrafts. Some were shot dead and wounded. Many children were lost. Moreover, a U.S. airstrike hit a house in the airport neighborhoods, killing 10 family members, including women and children. The chaotic evacuation from Afghanistan in 2021 reminds Afghans of those ugly and tragic days. People here blame the ill-prepared U.S. for spoiling the lives of thousands of Afghan people. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Protesters from Palestine Action Scotland scaling the roof of one of the world's largest arms companies in Glasgow, demanding that the facility be shut down. They're soon arrested by Scottish police, but they've done the damage they intended.
They've obviously realized that asking nicely has not worked. The government hasn't made any lasting change, and they have taken measures into their own hands where the government has chosen not to.
The activists, who were taken in court and released later, accused the Paris-headquartered multinational TALS group of making an array of lethal weapons that help enforce the Israeli apartheid against Palestinians. The Watchkeeper drone is one of the group's deadly products, developed in collaboration with a notorious Israeli weapons company that's been the target of these activists for years now.
In 2019, TALS made €8.3 billion in profit, and that wasn't just off the suffering and oppression of Palestinians. It was from the oppression of refugees worldwide. Their business is oppression, their business is genocide, and they're willing to sacrifice millions upon millions of lives for profit.
The building behind me used to house the headquarters of Israel's largest weapons manufacturer, Elbit Systems. Earlier this year, and after 2 years of relentless direct action, Palestine Action say, they forced the company to close down and leave, getting one step closer to ending Israel's arms trade in Britain.
That came only 5 months after the company was forced to close up shop in the northwestern city of Oldham, Greater Manchester. Elbit Systems still has 8 more sites in the UK. Palestine Action say they will continue to throw a spanner in the works of Elbit and companies that collaborate with it, until they're all closed and until Palestine is free. Saeed Puriza, London.
On Tuesday, Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian wrapped up a two-day visit to Italy, which is expected to boost Tehran's relations with Rome and the Catholic Church. Amir Abdollahian's visit kicked off on Monday at Italy's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Iran's top diplomat held talks with his Italian counterpart Luigi Di Maio in pursuit of political, economic and commercial cooperation. The two discussed a number of issues, including the situation in Afghanistan, Yemen and Ukraine, and the resumption of talks on the revival of the 2015 deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. At the end of the meeting, Iran's top diplomat stated that there is a promised bright future for the cooperation between Tehran and Rome in the field of energy.
At a political level, it remains to be seen if the Italian government's commitment to expand bilateral relations with Iran is more than just a generic pledge. Much will depend on the outcome of the upcoming U.S. President Biden's Middle East trip.
On Tuesday, the Iranian minister, after participating at a meeting with geopolitical analysts and policymakers at the think tank Institute of International Affairs, held talks with Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin at the Vatican. How interfaith dialogue plays a key role in alleviating violence and extremism was among the issues touched upon during the meeting. In April, Iran's foreign minister held a phone talk with his counterpart from the Vatican. The top Iranian diplomat talked about painful and inhuman disasters unfolding the world today, which he blamed on a lack of morality and ethics in international relations.
The meeting between the Iranian minister and Cardinal Parolin is an important event, a confirmation of long-standing relations and consolidated friendship between Iran and the Holy See, a meeting that is even more important under the current tensions afflicting the world.
Cultural and economic ties between Tehran and Rome have experienced ups and downs over time, yet Italy has ranked at the top in Europe in terms of volume of trade with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Max Civili, Rome.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Rather than going around the world collecting military allies and imposing sanctions on countries that do not wish to align with the United States, China invites partners to collaborate on mutually beneficial bases. We now present you an article written by Dr. George Koo, the founder and former managing director of International Strategic Alliances. The piece is titled Disintegration of Unipolar World Begins. The article was published by the Asia Times. In April, I was invited to speak about the U.S.-China bilateral relationship. For the title of the speech, I chose Pushing China's Head Underwater Won't Make America Great Again. Recent developments suggest that an updated title would be Pushing China's Head Underwater Will Hasten America's Own Demise. There are two reasons for fine-tuning my title. First, the United States' deliberate tactics to obstruct China's growth and expansion have failed miserably while inflicting more hardship on Americans. The American people are paying a ghastly price for Washington's obsession with China. Second, priorities of America's foreign policy are not making any sense. The most recent example is the announcement by President Joe Biden that the United States will contribute $200 billion to the G7 pool of funds to compete with China's Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI. It's hard to tell whether where Biden is going to find that money. Even if all Group of Seven nations contribute their share of funds, it will be even harder to figure out to how they can implement the Belt Road Initiative-like projects in the developing world. Most probably, they would have to subcontract work to China, which knows how to implement it. On top of Biden's dream of grandeur, he's sending billions of dollars worth of arms and weapons to Ukraine to prolong the conflict with Russia. Bipartisan approval is easy when it comes to making war. By contrast, to relieve the inflationary pressure on America's domestic economy, Joe Biden is proposing to forgive 18 cents per gallon, or 4.76 cents per liter, of federal tax on gasoline for the three summer months. Wow, billions of dollars to compete with China and Russia and an 18-cent discount for the American motorist. In California, a gallon of gasoline has gone over $6, or $1.59 a litre. Saving 18 cents per gallon from a fill-up will barely cover the cost of a cup of coffee. In the United States, prices of everything has gone up. Inflation looms. Nay, inflation at 8.8% is already the highest in the past 40 years. Soon the American motorist won't even get a cup of coffee from his gas tax saving. Biden does not deny that Americans are facing inflation. He blames the inflation on Russian President Vladimir Putin and his special operation in Ukraine. He urges the American public to endure this for as long as it takes in order to defeat Putin. Hardly encouraging words. Of course, most American people are not aware that it has been the U.S.-led North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, that baited Putin over the decades into the conflict with Ukraine. Washington has since congratulated itself for successfully mounting a proxy war, getting Ukrainians to fight the Russians. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin even claimed that the war meets the objectives to wear down the strength of Russia, albeit at the expense of Ukrainian casualties and Ukrainian property. NATO celebrated a summit at the end of June where Sweden and Finland were formally included as new members. The organization accused China of not condemning Russia's special operations in Ukraine and therefore not standing with NATO. At its NATO summit, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea were invited as observers as a signal that NATO's expansion plans now include the North Pacific. just to make sure nobody misses that intention. For the first time, NATO identified China as a potential threat and a systematic challenge. So what constitutes China's threat to the security of NATO members? Apparently, it is the fact that China has dominated manufacturing of goods and prices that the West cannot compete with. China's gross domestic product, or GDP, continues to grow, and that makes NATO members nervous. West, led by the United States, has repeatedly accused China of violating rule-based international order. The most recent action by the Biden White House was to impose sanctions on goods made in Xinjiang province, alleging human rights abuses in China's Xinjiang province. In response, China, on the day after the conclusion of the NATO summit, announced the placement of an entire order for 292 commercial jetliners worth more than $37 billion with Airbus, the European consortium, and none to Boeing, the other major plane maker. This was a harsh, attention-getting message from China in response to President Biden's endless innuendos and baseless insults and a signal that China is ready to play hardball with Washington. China's other message to the countries in the European Union, many of which are members of NATO, the Airbus order reaffirmed that China can be a major economic partner and poses no threat to the security of the European Union. Inflation in the European Union is rapidly getting out of control because of the war in Ukraine and the US imposed sanctions on Russia. If Joe Biden thought he was driving a stake into the heart of Russia's economy, he miscalculated. Vladimir Putin turned around and pegged Russia's energy exports to the ruble. Consequently, the value of the ruble against the euro has reached a 7-year high. The artificial shortage in world oil caused by the US sanctions on Russian oil has not hurt Russia. It makes money selling its oil to China, to India, and to other buyers at higher prices. However, major nations in the European Union, especially France, Germany and Italy, are energy importers and they are beginning to question the wisdom of following the US leadership. The world is beginning to see the difference between currencies based on assets and the American dollar, based on the full faith and credit of the US government. In other words, the Federal Reserve's printing press. Central banks of various countries are beginning to lighten their dollar holdings in favor of other reserve currencies, the most popular being China's renminbi. According to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the US dollar's share of the global currency reserves has fallen to its lowest point in more than two decades. To take advantage of the availability of Russian oil at favorable discount, India entered a rupee-for-ruble deal and get around paying in dollars. For the first time, India bought coal from Russia with the Chinese renminbi. While the G7 and then the NATO summit meeting took place in Europe, it was China's turn to host the BRICS meeting, which it did virtually. At the 2022 BRICS summit, Beijing invited many non-member countries as observers. Formed back in 2009, BRICS consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. It is not a military alliance, but it's meant to promote collaboration for peace, for security, and global economic development. Compared with the G7, BRICS has three times the population, but only about 70% of the G7's gross domestic product, or GDP. At the 2022 BRICS summit, Argentina and the Islamic Republic of Iran formally applied to join BRICS. Adjusted for purchasing parity, the gross domestic product for BRICS Plus would surpass that of G7, and there is a proposal afoot to create a new global reserve currency based on the basket of BRICS Plus currencies as an alternative to the US dollar. Rather than going around the world collecting military allies and imposing sanctions on countries that do not wish to align with the United States, China invites partners to collaborate on mutually beneficial bases. Since it was initiated in 2013, China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, has launched more than 13,000 projects in 165 countries, valued at nearly $1 trillion. Most of the Belt and Road Initiative projects have to do with upgrading badly needed infrastructure, which leads directly to a boost in the recipient country's economy. There is now a high-speed rail link from China through Central Asia to Moscow, Russia, and onwards to Rotterdam on the Atlantic coast. 25 out of 31 Latin American countries are participants in the Belt and Road Initiative, as is most of Africa. At the just-concluded Group of 20 summit, the divide between the US-led Western bloc and China, Russia, and the non-aligned members of the G20 became quite clear. The summit concluded without the usual group photo of smiling state leaders and no joint declarations expressing optimistic steps for the future. Every year, China graduates 8 times as many students in STEM or science, technology, engineering, and mathematics than the United States. These human resources power developments in high technology for China. The more pressure the US exerts to stifle China's advance, the more determined the Chinese will be to find their own technical advances and skirt around American roadblocks.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear friends. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to Lantern. On the continuation of Lantern, we have an interesting story. I invite you to listen to it. A dying old man said to his doctor while on the sickbed, "Doctor, don't worry. I know I'm going to die. I didn't want to come here, but they brought me here. Please don't worry about me. Look at my hair. They are gone. I'm so old, but you're so young. I have learned a lot from life. If you don't mind, I will tell you some of them before I die. When I wanted to enter the university, I wanted to study zoology. But everyone said I should study engineering, that I will be a great engineer. So I listened to them. I had no one to pay my fees. I had to work and also pay my fees. In my third year, I couldn't cope with my studies. I had to drop. At 40, I got a huge contract. My name was in the news. The next day, all my friends and families were at my house. Everyone had a serious problem. Within 1 week, I spent all the money on them with the promise that they will pay back. I could not complete the contract because they refused to return the money as promised. So I was sent to jail for 6 years. I stayed in jail and I came out. When I came out, they were nowhere. There was one mistake I made through all this time. Now it's clear to me. I refused to listen to myself. I ignored my own self and listened to others. Now that I'm here, the only person that is with me is myself. You see, it's very wise to seek advice from others, but it's very dangerous to ignore your own self. The only person that can overrule yourself is Allah, after Allah listen to yourself next. I know it may not make sense to you now, but always remember, I told you, learn to listen to yourself. That was our today's story. Now the continuation of it. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to increase our self-esteem. In the beginning, it must be indicated that self-esteem is, in fact, a psychological capital for everybody. You can rarely find anybody who is able to accomplish great projects and great accomplishments, to accomplish great projects and jobs without having the required courage or self-esteem. One shouldn't say that, okay, this isn't my job, it's the job of someone else. Rather, when you have an idea, when you've got an idea in your mind and you find yourself capable of practicalizing it, actualizing it, well, why hesitation? You have to continue your job. You have to do whatever is necessary. In this regard, it must be indicated that the Islamic religion is the religion of having staunch belief and conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the divine helps and favors. Generally speaking, those people who are true believers, they have resolute decisions in their lives. It means that those people who are true believers firmly believe in the divine help and divine inspirations, and that they go ahead in this way. Likewise, and in the meantime, it's a good idea to remember and to remind ourselves that the Holy Quran says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you've made your decision, depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go ahead. In this connection, we find that when an idea comes to our mind and we want to accomplish it, sometimes we may receive some temptations in order to withdraw and in order to sit back. However, this is a kind of satanic temptation. This is a kind of unwelcome and mostly sinister, temptation or sinister inspiration in this regard. In this connection, we find that when in the lives of the pre-Islamic prophets and former peoples, when we find that, okay, those people who were true believers, they were prophets who received the divine inspiration, or they were people who helped the divine prophets.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
For example, we find that when the prophet Moses was going to stand against Pharaoh, well, he was firm in his decision because the prophet Moses knew well that he was going to be backed and to be supported by the divine inspiration and the divine help. And he did it, and he stood against Pharaoh Fortunately, several aspects of the life and times of the Prophet are mentioned in the Holy Quran here and there. And at the same time, we find that even in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that in it the Prophet always found obstacles on his way. I mean, on his way to invite people to the divine religion, to the final divine religion, that is the Islamic religion. However, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resolute in his decision because he knew well that he was going to be backed and supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed no sign of being afraid of the actual situation. Please note carefully that so long as the Prophet Muhammad's paternal uncle Abu Talib, and most importantly, his paternal grandfather Abdul Muttalib, were alive, nobody was able to say anything, I mean, to do anything harsh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew well. I mean, the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew well that his paternal grandfather Abdul Muttalib and his paternal cousin Abu Talib were really very powerful dignitaries of Mecca. However, the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to torture those people who joined the Islamic religion and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. Yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed that he was resolute enough in his decisions that he carried out his projects, and now we find that a very high percentage of people in the whole world are Muslims. Now we find that when you want to do something quite helpful, I mean, to other people, for example, someone may have received a kind of psychological project, or for example, a kind of family conflict or family problem. Okay, when you find that, for example, the lady, I mean, the wife, is rightful, and you are capable of helping her in order to get out of her problems and her problematic situation, you shouldn't have any hesitation. You shouldn't say to yourself that, okay, it's, I mean, their own family, and I mean, it never concerns me. No, a human being is a human being, and we are all responsible for the sake of helping those people who come to us, or who may need our support. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ana bi dhikrillahi
tatma'innul qulub. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.